This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes.
Oh my god.
This feels like Poltergeist Part 4 or something.
It has a Duran Duran quality to it as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Steven, look. We're your mothers, and we're really proud of you.
That was great.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Now, what setting was that on?
Bossa Nova.
Bossa Nova.
It's amazing what you can do with that.
Yeah, it was. So each time it's been like a different like drum setting on the Casio. So.
The first one was Samba.
Yeah.
I really like that one.
I really thought that was beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It was like haunting.
Now, was it a conscious choice to pull your own vocals out and just let it be an instrumental?
I just wanted to, I don't know, I just wanted something with some Glockenspiel in it. You know?
Felt like the Glock around?
Yeah.
You got to pull up that Glock every once in a while. That was gorgeous.
It's really good.
Yeah. Karen, do you ever get like, I wrote that song?
Yeah, I get really pissed. but then I go through all these other emotions.
Like hungry,
tired, angry, right. Shut down, entirely shut down.
Yeah, like, oh, there's a dog over there.
Yeah, like, distracted.
Right.
Distracted is the final stage of grief.
Distracted by dogs is a special.
No, I love emotion. This idea that Steven's reconnoitering the theme song. Because we're probably all a tiny bit, 52, right? We've heard it 52
jealous.
Times.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, we need a refresher. I like the idea.
And it's a fun, like, yeah, reconnoitering.
We have to reconnoiter.
I've never heard that.
Is really?
That Yiddish?
It's my Irish grandmother used to say it.
That sounds...
Yiddish words.
Yeah, no.
She was fluent.
And saying Yiddish words every once in a while.
Do you know what's funny? I actually just thought of this the other day because somebody was telling a story about maids. My grandmother was a maid. She came to this country when she was like 17 and she was a maid in San Francisco until she got married, basically.
Amazing.
So like
amazing.
Yeah. For like 15 years.
That should have been.
And one of the places that she worked in, no, it's not going to be scary, but it's just, she worked for a family that lived in Seacliff, which is like the ritziest part of San Francisco, as you might know. It's like nobody knows that it's there.
I don't know what that is. I live there.
You know what it is? When you're driving over the Golden Gate Bridge to go to San Francisco, the left-hand side is the marina and Fisherman's Wharf and all that stuff. The right-hand side looks like a forest, but it's actually mansions.
No, I did not know that.
It's hidden mansions. And so my grandmother was a maid for a family. Well, she just called them the Jews. And she would always say,
I think the Jews are nice.
The Jews are real nice.
Oh, I worked for nice Jews.
But there was, and then you, like, and I came together. And I know. You were like, I think the Jews are nice.
I think she cracked the door open of in my mind.
I podcast with a nice Jew.
Grandma, you say. I think you'd be proud about that. We're still in cahoots with nice Jews.
And they're still nice Jews.
Mm. They're still out there.
What year was that?
Like the fucking 30s, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody liked us back then.
Well, nobody liked anybody.
Nobody liked the Irish.
Nope.
That
was back when there were signs that say don't hire the Irish in every store.
They thought that the two of us were a fucking plague on humanity. And you know what? They can suck it. Am I wrong?
I mean, were they wrong or were they wrong?
I mean, who's on top now with a podcast? Me and you.
Grandma, check it out.
Grandma, let me show you something.
She'd be like, I don't like all the talking.
You called her vulgar.
She would actually be insanely pissed about the F's.
All those F's. The French is what you're saying.
She doesn't like when I speak French because she doesn't like the French. Who does? Okay, wow. Steven, pull it.
Steven, take all that out.
Welcome to my favorite murder.
Oh my God, what is wrong with
that's
us?
A bad start in terms of the racist
issues.
Welcome
to my favorite murder. That Irish person is Karen Kilgariff.
And that Jewish person is Georgia Yale Hardstark. That's the fastest Jewish name I could think of.
It's Georgia Los Angeles City College dropout Hardstark is actually would be more accurate. I didn't go to Yale.
I meant the Jewish name, Yale, Y-A-E-L.
Oh, yeah, like Yael.
Oh, is that how you pronounce
it? Like the gorgeous chick from Orange is the New Black?
Yeah, which one?
That's her name. The one who's like, when me and so-and-so are going to get married. Bora, yes. She is.
Her first name's Yael.
Yael. And she was in an episode of the show called. Steven, help me out here. Deadbeat. Okay, it's the show called Deadbeat about a dude who's a drug dealer in Manhattan. And there's a special episode that's like the dog episode, and it makes no sense. It's on HBO, I think. And the people who wrote it were like, this is this episode, and sent it to HBO. And they're like, you can't give us any notes on it.
Mm.
Like, they were hard, which you know is like unheard of.
Right.
Like, they're just like, no notes. And it is one of the most gorgeous. Steven, can you find out what the name of the episode? Like, it's one of the most gorgeous episodes of television.
Is this a new TV show called Deadbeat?
It's newish. Yeah. It's like its first season, but it's kind of a show. The episode is just in the perspective of this dog.
Yeah.
And Yael is the dog walker. And you're just going to fall in love with her. Like, she's
nice.
So. Anyway, what were we talking about? This is a murder podcast.
We're in the intro. But it's good to know it's pronounced Yael.
That's what I think. I could be wrong about that.
Oh, you're asleep?
I'm asleep.
Let's see. Should we update anything? Well, this just happened on Twitter as we were like in between one recording and another. Mm-hmm. I looked down at my Twitter and somebody had written, have you heard about the New Hampshire murder castle? You guys have to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So I immediately send back a message saying, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. In all caps. Cause I was like, there's another murder castle. Like, how do I not know about this? And then he wrote back, yeah, H.H. Holmes. And I was like, that's Chicago.
You.
God damn it. But then he started laughing and was like, oh my God, you're right. But apparently H.H. Holmes is from New Hampshire.
Oh.
He was probably just either flipped it or was at the beginning of the story. He was at the beginning of the book about H.H. Holmes.
That's
or
actually one of the funniest ones that people ask us about. Like, do we know H.H. Holmes? And it's like, that one is just like, it's like asking us if you know about Ted Bundy.
Yeah. Or like, have you ever eaten a McDonald's?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I really
do. Amazing chicken. Their filet of fish.
Not to be, you know, anything about it, except for the guy built a murder castle. You got to know if you're even slightly interested in true crime.
If like Leonardo DiCaprio is even thought about as a main character in this movie, which he is, like, we've probably heard about it.
I would say.
Who do you think would play Ted Bundy?
Well, Greg Kinnear pops to mind.
Oh my God.
Thank you. Thank you.
Did you come up with that?
I did just now. I've never thought about that before.
Dude, no. I was like, I can't think of anyone. That is perfect.
Because he's kind of got dead eyes.
And he kind of is charm. Like, he's not hot enough to be, like, hot charming, but he's, like, charming enough to be, like, hot because he's charming.
You trust that face.
Yeah.
We just have to dye the hair.
And he could become a little, like, the eyebrows need to get a little more pointed.
Yeah, he has to get a little more sinister and probably a little skinnier.
Yeah.
But that guy in, like, a cable knit sweater who's like, please help me to my Volkswagen that doesn't have a passenger seat in it.
Absolutely, you're fucking Greg Kinnear.
You're getting in there.
Dude.
What do you got?
The show is called High Maintenance.
Well, that was not even close to what I fucking... Deadbeat is the one I've where the guy's roommate was a ghost. Jesus Christ.
From what...
Oh my God.
I've heard of High Maintenance. I've heard it's really good.
Okay, High Maintenance makes more sense.
High Maintenance is what we're trying to say.
Yes, and the episode is called Grandpa, and it says, when Chase and his sensitive yet fun-loving dog Gatsby move from the suburban Midwest to Queens, culture shock takes its toll.
Yeah, that's
until they cross paths with Beth, a cute, whimsical dog walker.
Yeah, Ale.
But this episode has nothing to do with the season. Mm. It's like, the whole show is about this dude, High Maintenance,
yeah.
who sells pot.
Yeah.
On his bike. And then there's this random dog episode. And he's like, the guy's in it, but he's not, the episode isn't about him. And it's just such a gorgeous, listen, everyone has been fucking commenting and being like, thank you for recommending Fleabag. It was amazing. So fucking trust me right now, please.
That this, they do.
I know. It's
what I'm, are you yelling at me?
No, I'm yelling at the fucking
universe.
That I got that wrong. So wrong. Jesus Christ. Anyway.
You know why, Bet? You like Fleabag, and then Deadbeat almost seems like the beat in between High Maintenance and Fleabag. Deadbeat goes
Fleabag,
right in there.
High Maintenance.
Or I just want to know who makes that show that they can go to fucking HBO and say, you don't get to give us
notes. I think that they don't care. Like, I think that they're not, I don't know. Like, someone I knew who's really cool who makes documentaries was friends with them, and they don't give a shit. What, who is it?
It's a husband and wife team, Ben Sinclair and Katja Leachfeld.
Huh.
So they're like, fuck you, dude. We're fucking good.
Yeah, it usually doesn't work that way. No. Though. That's what I'm saying.
No.
So that's very cool.
It's, you'll cry.
You know who else did that?
Who?
All of the people who would be, I believe, James Burrows, Matt Groening, everybody who said they were going to make The Simpsons. They went to Fox and said, we'll make this, but you don't get to give us notes.
Like, who were they? All they had done is the Tracy Ullman show at that point, right?
No. James Burrows, he's like a legend, right? Oh. Like, they had basically, they basically said, we'll make this deal with you and all that, but you just can't.
They won't do that again.
They won't.
Until My Favorite Murder, the comedy TV show, that's also a game show. That's what it's called. Comes out and we're like, you can't tell us what to do. And they're like, great. Well, we're not giving you a TV show. And we're like, fine.
Fine, go ahead. Sink your goddamn boat.
Yeah, we got a podcast. Oh, you know what we even mentioned is that this is the first fucking episode in my new apartment.
Yeah, that's right. That's what we should be talking about.
We should
about.
Start with that and how high these ceilings are.
Yes, this is Cathedral-esque.
I mean, you'd think that if they were going to make ceilings this high, they would also not make them fucking popcorn. But I guess I'm not an architect, so I don't know. But however,
look, you can take that out. You can scrape it off.
You know how much that costs? So much money.
I know.
Oh.
I was just trying to make you feel better.
Thank you, but I don't care. It's fine.
It looks great. You know, also, they're so high up, you can't see it.
Okay. Yes. Popcorn ceiling and Venetian blinds kill me, but what are they called? What are those called?
Yeah, I think those are like horizontal or vertical blinds.
Vertical. Fuck. Well, anyways, I hate them. But otherwise, this apartment is amazing.
This is a great apartment.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, and also you just moved here. You got to get in and get
this is the nicest
stuff going.
Place I've ever lived in my life.
It's great. It's really fun. It's got a good open floor plan.
Yeah.
Good
when
vibes.
The apocalypse comes, we're on the third floor, so like we're safe.
The water coming up, the people scratching at the side of the building, you're safe.
Oh, it's good. All right.
That's good.
Oh, I forgot to mention this last week when it mattered, when it had any fucking... All right, so these two dudes who were into the podcast messaged Justin. We're like, hey, we're super in the podcast. We're writing, we are writers on the show, The Real O'Neills. Will you guys be in an episode? And Karen was like, I have a day job and have a fucking normal life. And I was like, I don't, I'll be on it. And so I went on and was on it, and it's on tonight, which is 2 days after this is going to air.
2 days. Yeah.
Before.
You will be 2 days after in hearing this.
But you can watch it online places.
That's right.
So it's these fucking sweet angels, Josh Kirby and John Velis, who like they wore, so we recorded this thing and they wore My Favorite Murder shirts to the fucking recording of this episode. Like, there was a ton of people on set, and they, every time someone would meet me, and like, I was an extra on, like, they didn't have to be nice to me. And they were like, she has a podcast. Like, they were so nice. Aww. And wonderful people. And one of them was fucking Henry Zebrowski's college roommate, which is so insane. Anyways, I'm on it in a fucking dance sequence and I get my baby stolen and it's fun. And if you want to watch it, check it out.
Go watch Georgia.
The Orpheum this Saturday.
That's right. That should be exciting. The LA Riot Fest Comedy Festival. And we're at the Orpheum Theater.
Should we put it up next week? If it doesn't suck.
Yes. That should be the bar.
If we can have a week off, we should try so hard. Yes. On Saturday so we can have a week off.
Actually, yes, let's try really hard because I need a week off because work is getting insane.
Are you about to start filming?
The week after, yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. So you're like twisting all the knobs. What do they call it? Like,
yeah, we're going to twist some knobs and we're going to push some levers up and then pull them back down. All that stuff, which is really hard for me. The stuff I don't like the
Karen
most.
Can't even chew gum and chew gum at the same time.
Ugh, it's the worst.
I was thinking that we could have Guy back on, Guy Brennan back on, whose show you're
currently on. Yeah.
Right. But what if we like have people write in and ask their legal questions that they're curious about? Like, what the fuck is this thing and that thing? Like, you have to write it in that sentence.
And then he's like, yeah, I don't know what those things are.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, no. I was just trying to make a joke. I don't know. Yeah. I think, if we had something specific and like led it through to a certain topic.
Okay. We should have him back on them because that was a good episode.
No, he's great. Very good. And then it's like just kind of a fun. It's fun to have a third person.
Yeah. And not tell horrifying murder stories. Hey, speaking of.
Hey.
Is there anything else you want to? Correction Corner. Merch Corner. MyFavoriteMurderShirts.com. We're working on new designs and things and stuff. And it's going to be great. Forever. Oh, and MyFavoriteMurder.com for the live show stuff. We have a show in Pennsylvania that we need to sell more tickets for, guys.
Oh, yeah. So go onto the website. And if you live in Pennsylvania and you go on there and you see if it's near you.
I don't know.
But wait, you have a story about your Uber driver. Dude.
That's why I need to write shit down.
Dude.
Oh, my God. Let's start over. Let me start with this. Thank you for reminding me.
No, that's why I write things on my list.
My therapist today, I was like, what's wrong with my memory? And she was like, well, you're sleep deprived and anxious. Those will fuck with your memory. I'm like, okay, I feel good about it, but now I don't feel good about it. Okay. So I got an Uber to go to our Cracked podcast live show at UCB, which I think they're going to put up soon, which was so much fucking fun. And Cracked podcast is, they're like awesome dudes. So on my way there, like I get picked up. I'm leaving a party and I shame Vince and Joe DeRosa for like saying goodbye and like leaving me there to wait for an Uber. I don't know why I'm saying that. I'm just shaming them. So I get picked up by this dude who looks like he could murder me, but he ended up being super fucking cool. He looks like he goes outside of Burning Man. You know what I mean? Like he stays near, like he stays
so
near
real outsider.
Yeah. Like he can't afford tickets and he like sells drugs outside of Burning Man. But like I feel safest around those people more than like normal people.
Those are your people.
Yeah. Sure. Those Burning Man outside people.
Yeah.
So he's like, so what are you going to UCB for? And like chitty chat the way I hate Ubers do. And then I was like, oh, you know, I have this podcast. And he was like, what is it about? I'm like, well, murder. And, you know, kind of like slowly got some out of it. And then he was like, oh, hey, what's funny? I grew up a couple doors down from John Wayne Gacy. So I was like, wait, what? And I was like around the time he's like, I went to a party where my friend, had him as a clown at our party.
Wait, he was a kid?
He was a kid.
Oh.
His friend hired John Wayne Gacy to be a clown.
Pogo the clown.
Pogo the clown at his birthday party.
Fuck.
And he said that, yeah, he, like John Wayne Gacy would come to their school and watch wrestling matches. And I was like, well, wasn't it weird? And he was like, yeah, everyone knew it was weird that this guy was into it, but he would then bring them back to his house and his wife. And I was like, wait, he had a wife? He's like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He would bring them down. And then what you've told me before is how he would be like, let's have this wrestling thing. I'm going to put you in handcuffs.
Yeah.
He like knew all that because that happened to people in his town, and his wife would just be like, oh, he brought these kids down with him and they never came back up. Whatever.
Yeah, that's the wife that eventually left him because she just that kept happening. And she's just like, this is so weird.
She wasn't like calling the cops. She was just like, goodbye.
She didn't know what was going on down there. It was just kind of like, it's boys.
Leave someone with not like knowing what's going on.
Oh, yeah. It was the 70s. I think people did that all the time in their marriages. It's like, we're going to go have man time in our man cave downstairs. And she's like, okay, I'm going to bed.
But with children, like, if she was suspicious enough to leave him, she should have told the cops of her suspicions.
Oh, I can't speak to this at all.
I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, like on my way to a fucking...
Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
You know what I mean? Like, shoulda not married him to be shoulda, A, I you're mean, married a clown.
Look, listen.
Look and listen.
Look, learn. The handcuffs alone. Get out of there.
Yeah, like, no, the going to wrestling matches and having kids over for wrestling alone. Like, crazy. If Vin started doing that, I'd be like, well, this isn't gonna...
This will not stand.
You're going to prison.
You'd be like, one hand on the hip. Hey, listen, mister.
Yeah, goodbye.
911 on the other hand. Well, that's awesome. I mean, that's the magic of getting into just anyone's car.
Try it. Everyone give it a shot. That's why we have this podcast. It's good people get into people's cars.
It was kind of funny, though, because on my way, of course, Georgia got there before me because I was late. And on my way, I was texting like, I'm on my way here, whatever. And then Georgia texts, my Uber driver used to live across the street from John Wayne Gacy. And then I was like, you are lying. And yeah. I just, all my responses were accusing her of being a liar.
Like I make shit up all the time.
I just wouldn't accept it. This is not the truth.
And I was like, I'm not fucking kidding.
The other thing I was going to say is, and I want to say that I was trying to look up the name, but I realized I was being rude to you. So I just put my phone down, but I want to say her name is Marjorie. Ugh, I don't think that's right though. But, we have a person who listens to our podcast and loves it. And also who comes to, mine and April's improv lab show, every month, which we really appreciate because God knows you don't want an empty room at the improv lab when you're trying to do a comedy show.
That's every first Wednesday of every month?
It's the second Wednesday, I think, of every month. Second Wednesday of every month.
At the Improv Lab. On Melrose.
Yes. Yeah, at 10 p.m. It's called Business Class. It's a real good time. But anyway, there's a girl that I met there on our first business class and who was like, love the podcast, blah, blah, blah. And has come, been super supportive. Well, I walked in to the last show we did, and there's like kind of an entranceway at the improv where people stand around, smoke and talk or whatever. And she's just sitting at a table with her friends. And just as I walked by, she just held out her hand and handed me three decks of cards. So I stopped and I was like, hey, what's going on? And then I look and they're the cold case cards that we were talking about on the podcast. And she got them for us. We all got a pack and we got two Floridas and a Connecticut, I believe.
They're the cards that, they're the cards that the law enforcement would, like deck of cards, of playing cards that the law enforcement would give to inmates to play cards with, but there would also be cold cases of like murders and all these things on each one, like explaining them, hoping that one of the people in prison would recognize them or feel like compelled. Thank you. Mm-hmm. In prison and compelled. I just made those into one word.
You just combined it
To talk.
Which was a good idea. And right. When you look at them, it's kind of creepy, but then it's also fascinating. Like you just want to look at every single card. Sorry, Stephen just handed me her name and it is Miranda.
Same thing.
Miranda. What did I say?
Like Miranda writes.
Maribel, some horrible thing. Miranda, thank you so much for thinking of us and getting the thing that we were so excited to even talk about.
Yeah, no, it's super cool.
It was basically, this is like the partner item to the, the murder cards that we were, the baseball cards that we were looking at that Steven got for us for Christmas.
I mean, we're just gonna keep fucking compiling cards.
We just love cards. Hallmark, paint.
That's it.
Chip.
Yep.
Cards.
Yeah.
All right. That's all our business, right?
I think so.
Has it been 45 minutes yet? We got to hit that mark.
Cut half that out, Steven.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all made in.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's madeincookware.com. Goodbye.
Think you're first.
All right.
Right?
I'm going to take it. I'm going to fucking take it.
Take it and do it.
Limit.
Love it.
Limit.
To the limit.
Close time.
Remember Close Time?
Yes. What was the theme? Can you think of the tune?
Yes, hold on, because my mom worked there for a while. Wait, start it.
Something. Close time. That's not it. Something. Remember the one where it was like a girl getting ready in her room, and you would watch, like, you were watching through the window, and it ended up being like a dude cross-dressing, but it was like so edgy and cool.
What are you talking about? Was that for Banana Republic?
It was Charlotte Russe. Like, they had it in between, like, I swear this was on like America's Most Wanted, like, commercials. I want to make Steven look it up, but it's just so complicated.
I mean,
it was for Close Time.
All I can think of
all
is,
was Close Time.
I went to see the Golden Girls live, which is Drew Droege, Jackie Beat, yes. Sam Pancake, Sherry Vine. Unbelievable word for word reenactments of, Golden Girls episodes.
I see it on Instagram, but I don't know what it is.
You have to go. It's so funny. I told Joe DeRosa about it because he is obsessed with the Golden Girls.
Oh my God.
And he was like so mad that he hadn't gone. But
H. Allen Scott, he has a Golden Girls podcast. Have you met him? He's the best.
No.
You got to bring him.
But in between the scenes, they go to real like mid-80s commercials. And so there was the Shasta commercial. I want to pop. I want to Shasta. There were all these commercials.
Remember bubble gum one with two twins? Double bubble?
Double mint?
Double mint gum. It's a statement of the great mint from Double Mint Gum. Close. I closed them is because my mom worked for them, and they had this commercial where the like cute hot model would walk out and like kick her leg and like keep walking. I was like, close time. And so my mom told like came home crying one day. It was like I was walking out of a meeting and I tried to do like close time kick like as a cute joke to end it, and she's like, but my skirt caught, and just her skirt was too tight, and she just kicked both of her legs out from under her
and fell down.
Yes.
Oh no.
Oh, it's such a Georgia move. So I cannot think of close time without my mom kicking her fucking legs up.
Close time is like the place where we beg my mom to take us. And she'd
get
like,
shoulder pads.
She would be exhausted from work. Oh, and we'd be like, I just need one shirt. And you'd want to like shop the whole store. And my mom would be like, 5 more minutes. Yeah. And like going crazy.
Like cheap hangers and these like sad metal fucking racks.
And nothing
like
ever fit me. It was, everything was too small, where I'd be like, I want these tiny pants. Yeah. But I couldn't wear anything.
That, for us, that was Mimi's Cafe, and my mom would order a fucking glass of wine from the poor fucking hostess who couldn't serve wine, and just sit in the fucking waiting area.
Oh, what, waiting for a table.
Just chug wine. Cool, moms.
Anyway.
Oh, wow. Where are we? What's happening? Has it been 45 minutes yet? Okay, great.
We're almost there.
I'm about to blow my nose on my shirt.
Really?
Can you guys confirm? Can you confirm?
That actually just happened.
I don't have a tissue. Can everyone confirm that that was a witch? I don't have a tissue.
It's okay. She doesn't give a fuck.
It was either my shirt or my cat that was on my lap when I chose my shirt.
Oh,
all right. All okay. Right. All right. Here we go.
Ooh.
All right. So remember.
Last time.
Last time. We'll take it too. No. Not the same thing.
Not the same thing.
All right. So, last week I talked about Megan's...
Your serious voice. Okay.
Yeah. With clearly I'm about to... There's a yes. cross-eyed cat staring at me the whole time. Megan's Law. Talked yes. about that. Mm-hmm. Right? So then I was like, hey, what's another one of those that like we don't know the history of? So January 17th in 1996, which is exactly 21 years ago today.
Mm-hmm.
So 9-year-old Amber Hagerman is riding her bike in the parking lot of an abandoned Winn-Dixie in Arlington, Texas. And she's with her 5-year-old brother. Have you been to a Winn-Dixie?
No,
I haven't. Have you been in an abandoned parking lot?
Kind of, but just the idea of it, it simply would not happen. Like
today?
Not since 95. I feel like this idea of children alone
even
anywhere.
Even 96 seems like too... I think that like it took a lot of small towns a while to catch up.
Right, because people thought, oh no, not here, and it's safe right. here and that stuff. But like these days?
Never.
Never.
They wouldn't allow people, they wouldn't allow people like children in an abandoned parking lot. They would like
someone would call the police.
It off, right? Or like you wouldn't be able to get
but
on.
But also anyone passing by would call yeah. the police. Yeah. If there was a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old riding their bikes, it would be like a major. Okay.
Anyway. Well, here's why.
Yeah.
But So they were about 2 blocks from their grandma's house. It was broad fucking daylight, and someone drives into the parking lot, grabs Amber off of her bicycle. Like they didn't even try to like, he just grabs her and drives her away in his black pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
There's one witness to step forward, and he was a neighbor. His name was Jim Cavell. He's a 78-year-old retiree, witnesses the whole thing and calls the police right away. And he says, she was by herself. I saw this pickup. He pulled up, jumped out, and grabbed her. When she screamed, I figured the police ought to know about it, so I called them. That's so fucking Arlington, Texas. Like, well, figured the cops should know. He was nearby about da, 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 da. And so this is how he described the person, that he was a white or Hispanic male, 25 to 40, under 6 feet tall, medium build, driving a late 1980s or early 1990s model, full size American made black truck. And then, so Amber's brother, Ricky, goes home, tells his parents what happened. They're freaking out. In the abandoned parking lot of the Winn-Dixie, there's also a laundromat. And I guess it was full of customers, but police thought that a lot of them were in the country illegally. And so when the cops fucking swarmed, they got the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
And there was a truck that was similar to that of the kidnapper spotted outside before she was taken, outside of the laundromat. But no one ever came forward and said that they know who it was. And there was a $75,000 reward that also had the promise that they wouldn't be deported if they came forward with information, but no one ever came forward. Which I think that they would have if they had known something, right? That's a lot of fucking money.
Yeah, it is.
There's a huge search, and then 4 days later, a security guard who's walking his dog late at night stumbles upon the nude body of Amber. She's in a creek behind an apartment complex, which is less than 5 miles from the grocery store parking lot. Amber only has on a sock on her right foot. And an autopsy reveals that her kidnapper had kept her alive for 2 days. And she was beaten and sexually assaulted, and then her throat was slashed, and she was dumped behind the apartment complex. Which, like, makes you think that he lived there, or at least knew someone who lived there and was staying in town and had some time alone. Like, I don't think it would be someone who actually lives there, because it's too obvious.
Yeah, it wouldn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, like, you're staying...
Go out your back door.
Right.
Yeah.
You're staying at your brother-in-law's apartment while he's out of town. And, yeah. So after the funeral, a woman named Diana Simone, she's just a random woman. She's a massage therapist and a mother, and she's from Dallas, and she fucking calls the radio station, and she's like, hey, if you guys can alert the public to severe weather, why the fuck can't you do the same thing for when children are abducted? She's just like, put some shit together, and she's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Wait, say her name again.
Her name is Diana Simone.
Yeah.
So she's a badass motherfucker. And she says, and I wish I could do this in a fucking Dallas accent, but I don't want to be insulting, that she says, they're saying Amber was taken at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, thrown in a pickup truck and driven somewhere, and that nobody saw anything. And then she says, I'm sorry, that's not possible. The problem was not that people didn't see them. It's that they didn't know what they were seeing.
Yeah.
So 9 months after Amber's death, radio stations and law enforcement officials in North Texas launch what they call America's Missing Broadcast Emergency Response, or Amber Alerts. Mm-hmm. They relay reports of kidnappings to the public. And it's an emergency response system that disseminates information about a missing person, usually a child, by media broadcasting or electronic roadway signs. Da, 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 da. As of December 23rd, 2015, there have been 800 children rescued and returned specifically because of Amber Alert. But unfortunately, Amber Hagerman's abduction and murder has never been solved.
Oh, no.
I know. And her mom's, Amber's mom says, I know Amber would be very proud of this. She was always another mommy to all my children, but I also want people to remember Amber, that she had to sacrifice her life for Amber Alert. So, like, mom isn't, like, you know, empowered and proud of this shit. She's fucking, it's bittersweet for her, you know, like, of why course. Did her, why did her daughter have to be the fucking of namesake course. Of this?
Which her is child died, yeah.
So sad. So last year was the 20th anniversary, and they're always like, we're going to get them. And it's sad. And her poor brother, who is 5, is just like, I'm sure he's a mess. Okay. Da, 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 da. Okay. So, all right. So it's never been solved, but after I did some like sleuthing, the thing I found that the only like connection to an actual person that could possibly be involved that I found, was, okay, so in 2010, DNA identified a man that 25 years ago had kidnapped, sexually assaulted, and slit the throat of 8-year-old Jennifer Schuett. And Jennifer survived.
Wow.
And I wrote, and kicked major ass at healing and working on herself. She's made it her life's mission to speak out on behalf of victims. After Jennifer's attack, she lay dying in this fucking field of her
That's an I Survived.
Yep. Have you seen her with the pink? She's got like pink hair and she's kind of like punk and goth.
And the guy took her out of her bedroom through the window.
Yep.
Oh, dude.
And I know.
Okay.
This chick is like the epitome of like, here's how you get back your life.
Yeah, big time. Yes. She's amazing.
Yes. So she was in the field at 8 years old for 12 hours before she was discovered. And in her hospital bed, she had to scribble notes to the police. And she said that her attacker said his name was Dennis. And she did this amazing sketch. Like, she was fucking on it. And in it, she was like, I knew I was going to die. And I was going to get every little information, like bit of information, burn into my head. And it turns out that the dude was a 40-year-old welder from North Little Rock, Arkansas. He had a wife and 3 kids. And his DNA was on file because he had been... like, he has a fucking rap sheet of assaulting and kidnapping women. There's a ghost train going by my fucking new apartment. Okay. So he had been... the normal arrested for rape and assault and only got this many months. And in one case, a weekend in prison for
rape.
It got bargained down to bullshit stuff. So okay. He had never actually been really convicted of kidnapping, blah, blah, blah. He confesses to kidnapping, raping, and trying to kill Jennifer Shewitt. Her body was lying naked on her back on top of a fire ant nest.
Mm-hmm.
14 hours later, she woke up covered in fire ants. She couldn't move. She tried to scream. Something about the fire ants, though, kept her alive. And I don't know. I don't remember what it is.
I think if I'm remembering this correctly, because this is another one that's like crazy. I Survived. If you can see it, she's one of those people, like you said, the way she talks about it, you're like badass.
Yeah. Like there's something inside of you.
Yeah. When you're losing a lot of blood, you're not supposed to go to sleep. Like, so you don't lose consciousness.
Yeah.
And I think they kept her awake.
Oh my God. No. That makes total sense.
I'm pretty sure. You just watch her. I Survived. Look up Jennifer in whatever city in Texas this is, because that she tells the story.
It's chilling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So he gets arrested, for all of this, which is so similar. And this was in Texas, and she had been kidnapped from a Texas apartment. So, I mean, it's so similar. I don't think they have DNA from Amber's body, so there's really no way to tie it together. And unfortunately, this motherfucking dick sucker killed himself in 2010. But he had confessed, and she says, "You chose the wrong little 45-pound 8-year-old girl to try and murder, because for 19 years I've thought of you every single day and helped search for you, and every year that's passed has given me more strength and drive for when I finally would be face to face with you as I am today," in his sentencing, she said. But motherfucking Bradford hanged himself in his cell, and that's it. And I mean,
so he went to jail for that attack.
He did.
Oh, that's
and
good.
Then he killed himself.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just such a similar, an 8-year-old girl that he kidnapped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Apart, slit her throat, left her for dead. This one happened to survive in Texas, you know, in the 90s. It's just, so Amber, another like person who's done a lot, but at the expense of their life. He looked bummed.
What's that?
You look bummed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bummer.
It is a bummer, but I think it's an important story.
Yeah, of
and
course.
And it's horrifying that he was never found. Like, what the fuck?
Well, yeah.
Like, there were...
I was really surprised that you said that, because that I know of that little girl because of Amber Alerts, and so I just completely assumed that was a fully, like, a case that came all the way around, and that there was a prosecution for it, and that was part of it.
That one and Megan's Law, it's like, they're more horrifying than you would expect them to be, and they've done a lot, but it's just so... heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And
like, it's so awful.
And it's just so, they had so much information to go on based on that truck that, you know,
if there was a system set up,
they didn't find her.
Yeah.
is scary. And I feel like someone knows their brother-in-law or ex-brother-in-law or cousin or uncle, you know, is suspicious, but don't want to come forward.
Yeah.
Like it's always that, you know?
Yeah. Or your other guy.
Yeah. But someone, yeah.
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 Well, that's a good one.
Yeah.
If you're like me, you're always looking for a story to dive into. Whether it's a family drama or a mystery to solve, the key to getting hooked is the details. I need rich visuals and intricate storylines, and June's Journey has that and more. June's Journey is a mobile mystery game that follows June Parker, a daring young woman, on a quest to uncover the truth about her sister's murder. This is your chance to test your detective skills because you'll play the game as June herself. Explore beautifully designed scenes from the 1920s, like lavish estates and gardens, and don't forget to keep an eye out for hidden clues. There are twists, turns, and catchy tunes, all leading you deeper into the thrilling storyline. And if you play well enough, you could make it to the Detective Club. There, you'll chat with other players and compete with or against them. June needs your help, but watch out, you never know which character might be a villain. Shocking family secrets will be revealed, but will you crack the case? Find out as you escape this world and dive into June's world of mystery, murder, and romance. It's all just one tap away. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. That's June's Journey. Download the game for free on iOS and Android. Goodbye.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, mine is super gross and upsetting. I feel like it's always a tiny bit better when it's not a child murder.
Yeah.
Right? Those are the ones that just get us.
I'm sorry. I know, but I think they're important.
Of course.
I mean, it's horrifying. There's no like, what?
Yes, they're definitely important.
Like, I'm apologizing because it's like, it's hard. It's a hard thing to talk about in here.
So this one is, we have gotten so many tweets about it and so many requests to do this one that I was like, who the fuck is this guy that people keep on being like, how could you not have done this yet? And so I started looking into it, and there are so many, it is so detailed that what I did was tapped old Sarge Morris.
No, you didn't.
And I was like, can you help me do research? Yeah, girl.
That's not going to make any sense until the week after this episode.
I don't care. By then, it's going to have caught like wildfire.
Sarge Morris over here.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So this is Stephen A. Morris's research. But it's such a good story and it's super intense. It's the story of Luca Magnotta.
The Canadian.
Yes.
Dude, tell me everything.
We always think the Canadians are so chill.
Sweet angels.
With their maple syrup and their flags.
Yeah.
But not this specific one, who was born Eric Clinton Kirk Newman on July 24th, 1982 in Scarborough, Ontario. When he was 21, we don't know that much about his childhood, but when he was 21, we know that he started stripping in a Toronto club and appearing in low budget gay porn. So not a glamorous life. Mm-hmm. And that was in 2003 and 2004. He was convicted of impersonation and fraud after he befriended a mentally incapacitated 21-year-old woman, applied for credit cards in her name, and charged up $10,000 in fees.
So this guy's got some fucking straight off the 21-year-old bat-ish use.
Issues. Some serious issues.
Okay.
I would say narcissism was going to be in there.
Sure.
At some point.
Sociopathy?
Perhaps a sociops.
Let's throw them all in there.
So he was, before he was sentenced to 9 months of community service and 12 months probation, his lawyer actually showed the court a medical record claiming that he had significant psychiatric issues.
Wow. I want to read those reports so bad.
I know. Like, details.
Yeah. Like, some psychologist is sitting there in a fucking room with him and they're like, Oh, shit.
I'm going to underline significant.
Yeah. This person just tried to get some money off a person, but this motherfucker is like...
This motherfucker is manipulating mentally handicapped people to get credit cards.
And has like, yes.
Okay.
That's enough.
So this is just, we're laying down a base coat.
It's like when you do your nails.
This is the primer.
This is like when you're making something and you put in the, what's the thing with the, you know, the carrots and the celery and the...
A roux.
Not, a roux is the like sauce.
No, you're right.
Listen, I have a cooking... No, I don't.
Listen, I'm from the cooking jail.
Haru.
Okay, so then...
It's mirepoix.
A mirepoix. You mean you cut up the onions?
Yes. A roux is the... Yes, so, okay. The
roux is the start of something else?
Like a bechamel sauce.
Great.
I was like, wow, it's been a while.
Okay, so in 2006, he legally changes his name from Eric Clinton Newman to Luca Rocco Magnotta. So that's a completely made-up name.
Why did he?
Which I love it. He wanted to seem Italian. You know how Italians are. So he applies for bankruptcy in March of 2007, citing illness, lack of employment, insufficient income to pay off his debts. Hey, we've all been there. But then, after the bankruptcy, his quest for fame kicks into high gear.
Oh, he was questing for fame?
He's questing for fame in a big way. Oh, so he wants money. He wants to live Sheila E.'s glamorous life.
Oh, like you and I know, like at this point, like fame isn't it, like what people say it is.
Steven, cut that part out.
Fame is still popcorn ceiling, man.
You got to get that popcorn ceiling life.
There's that R. Kelly song called Popcorn Ceiling.
Okay, so here's what he does. He auditions for a reality show called Cover Guy.
Oh.
You can see the opening credits now.
No.
No, I'm saying in your mind. Oh, God, Cover Guy. He declares in his casting video that, quote, a lot of people tell me I'm devastatingly good looking.
You know that shit would sell now, but like whatever year that was, everyone's like, what is this shit?
What are you doing? Yeah, he was not chosen.
He was a reject from Cover Guy?
From Cover Guy.
Like, what'll break your heart more?
Then, well, this. Uh-oh. That he auditions for the reality show Plastic Makes Perfect.
Oh, no.
Flaunting his multiple hair transplants, nose job, explaining how he wanted to get pectoral implants. He was rejected. Yeah.
Explain my face right now.
So it's just not... The fame plan is not going... as expected.
To get rejected from the bottom of the barrel, like, you know, is the bottom of the barrel show.
You're not good enough for a plastic surgery show.
Yeah.
So then what he started to do was focus his efforts online. So he, twice created Wikipedia pages for himself.
Oh dear.
Only to have them taken down by the self-policing community. Imagine what was on those. It's Wikipedia.
Imagine the self, like the self policing community is like, they let so much shit fly. And then they're like, this fucking idiot.
Not this guy.
Not this fucking idiot.
Then he created the rumor on message boards that he was dating Carla Homolka, the wife of Paul Bernardo, who killed two teenagers, along with raping and murdering her own sister.
Oh my God, this is how, okay, I did not understand. I, in my mind, whenever I saw people write this thing, I thought he was Paul Bernardo. I got these whole things confused.
Yeah.
So this is exciting.
So this is a guy who, he creates the rumor on message boards that he is dating her.
But he's not the one who killed her sister.
No, that's her husband.
Oh my God. I thought
that
he was the husband.
He really did that. Then the husband goes to jail.
Okay.
She, I think, goes to jail for a while, but then gets out,
right?
And then he decides to tell people he's dating her now.
Holy
that she's out.
Shit.
To get that kind of infamy. That's the level of celebrity he's going for now.
Yeah.
But then he calls into a radio show to deny the rumors that he started online. Then he visits a newsroom in Toronto. And that's the first time he's on mainstream press talking about it and denying it. He said he dated her in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Not when she got out of jail. All right. So then there's many profiles on various internet social media and discussion forums created over several years to plant false or unverified claims about him. And he would himself immediately dismiss these as rumors and hoaxes and a campaign of cyber stalking. According to the police, Magnotta set up at least 70 Facebook pages and 20 websites under different names.
70 Facebook pages?
Yeah.
Can you imagine how many naps that is?
I mean, how many other things could you have been doing?
Naps.
How much more plastic surgery could you have gotten? In 2010, this is the part where it's going to turn and you're going to get upset. Okay.
Do children get murdered?
Nope.
Well, then I don't care.
Okay. In 2010, he posted a video called One Boy, Two Kittens.
Oh, no.
Where he asphyxiated two tabby cats.
Wait, what? No.
Using a vacuum cleaner. Yeah, and a plastic bag.
This is why I've never heard of him.
Until he was tracked down, he was just known as the vacuum kitten killer.
How does that even work? So you put... Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was a big jump from 70 Facebook.
I know. Well, here's the thing. All that other stuff isn't working. So right. He keeps doing things, attempt after attempt after attempt.
He just wants attention.
And people are like,
what kind it is.
Right. So then because he's a sociopath, because he doesn't really care and he doesn't have any empathy.
Jesus Christ.
He does that.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Okay. Now we're in 2012. And it is May 26th, and a Montana lawyer named Roger Renville sees a bizarre internet video depicting a man being stabbed and dismembered. He alerts U.S. and Canadian police about this video, and they dismiss it as a fake.
He just saw it, like, where?
It was posted, so it was uploaded. It was called One Lunatic, One Ice Pick, and it was uploaded to two gore sites, mm-hmm. Which were super explicit places that were just, like, super violent.
I love that this guy who's, like, on gore sites is like, this is too much for me. Like, what, you know, like, it had to be that awful.
Well, he's a lawyer, so maybe he was looking on there for this reason.
Okay.
Because he reported it to the police.
So it looked real. Like, maybe he's like seen gore, like real crime scenes and bodies. So he knows what it looks like.
Yeah, I think that's what they said.
Holy shit.
Meanwhile, Luca Magnotta has flown from Montreal to Paris. And when he arrives in Paris, he was wearing a wig and a Mickey Mouse t-shirt.
Super chill.
And then, so basically that was on the 26th is when he flew to Paris. 3 days later on the 29th, the residents of his apartment building start complaining of a foul smell.
Nope. Never complain of a foul smell.
So the janitor then discovers a suitcase next to a mountain of garbage bags behind the building. And inside is the headless torso of a man.
Oh my God.
Now, 6 p.m. that same night, a package containing a human foot is received at the Conservative Party of Canada headquarters in Ottawa, and it had been mailed from Montreal. At 9 p.m., a package addressed to the Liberal Party headquarters in Ottawa was discovered by postal employees to contain a human hand.
What the fuck?
After taking statements and finding evidence in the trash, including a blunt instrument and papers identifying Luca Magnotta, the police enter his apartment.
Wait, so like he did this on purpose, like sent this shit, like knowingly that it was his stuff, like going to lead to him on purpose? Sounds like it.
No. What do you mean?
Never mind.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. They found
it. Police enter his apartment, and it's actually a very dark studio apartment. And then they find a bloody mattress and blood in the refrigerator, and scrawled in red ink inside a closet are the words, "If you don't like the reflection, don't look in the mirror. I don't care."
Oh my God.
So an arrest warrant is issued for Luca Magnotta. The Interpol adds him to the wanted list, and people, he was in Paris and he was declared an international fugitive, and the cops start getting a ton of tips that he's at a bar, he's trying to crash a house party. He actually took the bus to Berlin. His name was all over the papers and all over television, and the French media nicknamed him the Butcher of Montreal.
Oh my God.
And the German media nicknamed him the Porno Killer. So
the Butcher of Montreal is way cooler.
That's better. So he gets to, This is my favorite part. He gets to an internet cafe. This is about a week after all that. And the guy that's working there, a man walks in wearing sunglasses and makeup and says, "Bonjour, internet." And so the guy kind of notices him.
This episode is called Bonjour, Internet.
Right. And, so the guy working there, recognizes this man's face who walked in, but he can't place it. And so he's looking at the guy. So the guy goes over to a computer and, you know, rents it out. And the guy from his workstation is looking down at the monitor that this guy is using. And he noticed that this man, who is wearing sunglasses, is looking at article after article about the killer in Montreal.
Oh my God.
And so then he puts it together that it's him. So
can you imagine?
So basically they go up and they're just like, "You're that guy, right?" And he goes, "You caught me."
What in the fucking fuck?
Yeah. So he basically got caught because he was Googling pictures of himself.
You idiot.
So,
I feel like there's nothing good that happens in internet cafes. And
yeah, like, not anymore.
You know what I mean? Something's wrong.
It's over now.
Yeah.
Maybe 1997, 98. That was the last time.
Yeah.
Then on June 5th, a package containing a right foot was delivered to St. George's School. Another package containing a right hand was sent to Falls Creek Elementary School in Vancouver. Both schools opened as normal in the following morning, and it was confirmed that both packages were sent from Montreal.
But were they staggered? Like, who was sending them then?
He was sending them all from Montreal, but they were different places. So Vancouver's further away. So Magnotta is arrested and then he's transferred to a Berlin prison hospital, and a psychiatrist believes that he's in a psychotic state.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, the police identify the torso victim as Lin Jun. And he's a 33-year-old Chinese computer science student at Concordia University. Mm. It's unclear how he met Luca Mangata. But
at an internet cafe, I bet.
They say that Mangata had been posting men seeking men, in the men seeking men section of Craigslist under an alias.
So sad.
And so basically they go back and check the video and they see Lin Jun had entered, Luca Magnotta's apartment building. And then the next day is when they see the video where Luca Magnotta is taking things out and putting them in the garbage can.
He just wanted to love and be loved and got murdered. That's so sad.
Yeah. So then he gets taken back to Canada on a military plane, and then they find Lin Jun's skull at the edge of a small lake in Angrenon Park, after they get an anonymous tip. So someone may have found it. Mm. So not only does Luca Magnotta go to trial, obviously he's arrested and charged with murder, but the police charged the website owner who posted one lunatic, whatever the name of that video was. That guy got charged with corrupting morals. One lunatic, one ice pick.
Why?
And he ended up going because it was real.
But he didn't know it was real.
Well, but it's his like responsibility. Right. He probably, I think probably in watching it, like the lawyer did, yeah, you would know.
Yeah. God. So is it out there? Can you, like, I wonder if it's out there.
I have no idea.
Did you ever watch like, what was that website? It wasn't sick.com, but it was something like that.
Rotten.com?
Rotten.com.
Yeah.
Did you ever click through that?
Yeah.
That's troubling.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
But I've seen... Yeah, go on.
So basically, he just goes to court, and he ends up... They give him a life sentence with without the chance of parole for at least 25 years. And they try to say... in the court case that he's basically that he was crazy. It doesn't work, and he gets basically the full extent. And they added on all these other charges. It was like first degree murder, but then also committing an indignity to a human body, publishing obscene material, criminally harassing prime minister. I mean, all that sending stuff to government stuff, yeah, made it all, you know.
So what did they say what he had, like, did, how he killed the guy, and then like was the dismemberment after he was
murdered? Well, it's all in the video, so it looked like they he stabbed him to death and then dismembered him.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Can you imagine if you'd like watch that being like, this is fake, and then like going back and being like, no, you fucking watched a murder.
Well, that's why all that stuff is like, why would you want, yeah, that in your head? It's such a bummer, and it's such bad vibes. Even if you're faking something like that, like, yeah, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, I'll look up like crime scene photos sometimes, and then like there's ones that are like clear, they clearly can't be fake. And I'd be like, nope, it's fake. It's like, I have to commit to it being fake, or else I'll lose my mind.
Yeah. It's not, I don't think it's good to have those pictures in your head.
Absolutely not.
No. And it doesn't help you. It's not like you can't imagine what it might be like.
Right, right.
He also, so anyway, in 2015, Luca Magnotta, he tried to file an appeal for the convictions. But it didn't work. And he actually withdrew the appeal himself. So apparently someone, I don't know what happened, but
I was like, cut it out.
He was like, you know what? I'm going to drop this whole fame thing. Maybe I'm going to try to do something else.
Finally,
I'm gonna get into Buddhism. So that's the story. Now I understand why everybody was so obsessed with it, because it truly is insane and horrible and beyond. That's like tabloidy.
I'm gonna listen to other people now, because like I never looked that one up. Everyone does constantly want us to do that one, and I always thought it was connected. I got that one and that horrible couple. Kind of
the Paul Bernardo case.
Yeah. I always kind of thought it was the same thing. I was like, I don't need to know about this one. Like, yeah, we know it's boring. You know, they fucked her sister and they killed her, and like now she's out and it sucks. But like, I didn't realize
that's boring.
No, it's just one of the ones that everyone knows about. You right. know what I mean? So I didn't realize. I have never heard any of that.
I know. Me, I didn't know it was that like crazy detailed. I didn't know he was like, the idea that you're sending body parts to the prime minister, yeah, or to like grammar schools, all those things where, and then knowing his whole thing of wanting to be famous.
Like, you're that needy that you would, like, he didn't murder someone because he wanted to murder someone. He murdered someone so he could put the video up online and
that's
get famous.
That's what it seems like.
It does seem like that.
Which is so gross. It's, I mean, like, almost, I guess it's, and it must be an element of most killers, the thought that like everyone will know me, or I'll have this power,
sure,
or they'll all become renowned or whatever.
But like most of those people do what are the killings called when like you're out in public and you kill a bunch of people?
Like a mass murder?
Like they do mass murders to do that, not what he did, which is like so personal and creepy. And then it's almost like forcing other people to watch it.
Well, and also it almost seems like just this lame modern version where it's just like, oh, I'll put it on YouTube. You know what I mean? I'll put my super gross, you know, serious mental problem on YouTube and get a bunch of hits.
And like force other people to have to deal with that, having seen that for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. But I mean, that's the thing. If you're looking, you're going to find
it. I know.
Like you have to remember if you're on a horrible gore site, then that's what you might look at. And then you're going to have that in your head. Like, that's don't just, do it.
As someone who like can't sleep at night, it's so easy to just kind of like click on this thing and click on the next thing, and then suddenly you find yourself at this like place, and then suddenly you see some shit you don't want to see but you can't look away. It's like not like you're like fucking typing in like man murders another man. It's like you just like I've seen some shit that I didn't realize I didn't want to see until I saw it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's hard to get out of your head, but who are you to, like, other people are looking at it because they want to see it. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That was crazy. We finally did that one.
Finally. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Can I tell you, I forgot about this. I was, we moved in this new place this weekend, and the first day we moved in, I was walking down this like the staircase, and this like girl with a really cute dog walked up, and she was this like cool girl, like not cool, you know, she was like someone I would have drinks with, a cool girl. And I could have sworn we walked by each other. She whispered, "Stay sexy." I'm serious. I think she whispered, "Stay sexy."
That's creepy.
Which is so creepy. But I think I'm also really paranoid. No, I know I'm also really paranoid.
Yeah, you're definitely really paranoid.
But it sounded like she said something like that.
I mean, I guess you'll find out.
So I'm going to die. Do you have a positive thing?
That's what I thought you were doing. And then it turned into that. I thought you were doing a positive thing when you started that story.
No, that's not like, positive. Oh, that's nice. No, it's not.
I realize now. That's it was just like a twist-a-roo at the end.
My real positive thing, so I'm in this new apartment, a new apartment complex, and there's this thing that happened yesterday, and it puts two of my favorite words together as one. And so my positive thing is jacuzzi cat.
Uh-huh.
There's a fucking giant black cat, and we've been staring at the jacuzzi. This fucking giant black cat strolls over to the side of the jacuzzi. And like I thought I was in fucking Narnia, like let me pet him with my wet hand. Like I just was petting him, and then he had a collar on. I looked at the collar, his name was fucking Gus.
While you're sitting in
I got in the jacuzzi and was about to cry because how happy I am that I get to be in a jacuzzi. Like, this is my dream. I can't believe this. And then this cat just fucking saunters on up named Gus. Like, that's a fucking fake. And he was like, I think he was an alien. Like, he was kind of like watching the perimeter, but like letting me, like only me, pet him with like wet, like a wet hand.
That's hilarious.
It was like, it was a dream. That's amazing.
That's good news.
Yeah.
About your future jacuzzi experiences.
Jacuzzi cat.
What if it's a different one next time? Annabelle comes up. She's all white.
Oh my God.
With one green eye and one blue eye.
Dude. Steven and I were just talking about how there's a fucking cat at the fucking cat shelter.
Named Cappuccino.
Who's white with one green eye and one fucking blue eye.
Whoa. Named Cappuccino?
No. Yes. But it's still a white cat with a blue eye and a green eye. Fucking Matrix, man. I don't care what my therapist says about detachment fucking issues.
Yeah.
This is the Matrix.
Yo, yeah. You gotta tap in. You just gotta tap in.
What's yours?
I guess I would say it was going to see the Golden Girls live, which I went and did, Jamie Lee's podcast. So I was downtown. It was kind of far away, and I bought this ticket. And when I went to buy the ticket for Golden Girls live, you usually can roll up and buy as many tickets as you want. It's like one of those scrolly things. Mm-hmm. And I could only roll up to one. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, whatever. If I can only have one, I'll have one. So I bought that ticket. So it turns out I bought the last ticket. The guy told me, cause he was like, you're not on this list. And he like checked it a ton of times. And then he went on to the website to get their list. And then he goes, he watched one girl's name disappear and my name took her place.
That's
and he
special.
Goes, you literally bought the last ticket. I'm like,
Matrix.
Hell yes.
Matrix.
So I had to sit in a chair in the aisle. He goes, here, you can sit right here. And so like everyone else is kind of, you know how it is in that room.
Yeah.
It's like raised up. And I was like someone's weird handicapped grandma where I was just in a chair in the aisle, like
in
I'll
the fire
just sit
exit.
Here. Yeah, exactly. So the show starts, the lights go down, and they put up the opening screen of the Golden Girls, and then the theme song starts, and everybody starts singing the theme song. No, everyone starts singing the theme song together. And it was... everyone was like laughing and smiling. It was like a very beautiful, like bonding moment in this weird way where it was just really nice. And it was, you know, it's like 80 people or something.
I would, please bring me next time. I would love to go.
Yeah, we should totally go. It would be so fun. That's, but it was just so like a lovely, yeah. First of all, I like a group sing. It's always very like cathartic, but then everyone knows every word to the theme song to the Golden Girls. And like some people were really belting it out.
And it brings you back to like a moment in time. Like you used, you know, I stayed at home. I was a kid and I watched that with my family.
Yeah, like totally.
On a Friday night. That's what you did.
It was, that's what was going on with everybody with that whole, it was really lovely.
They have a mug. I follow Jackie Beat on Instagram.
Oh, I bought one of those mugs.
Does it say thank you for being a cunt?
It's all those guys dressed up as the Golden Girls.
Thank you for being a cunt.
It's that genius. Is,
like, I can't even handle how fucking amazing that is.
Yeah, it's super good. So, you know.
That's a great moment.
So what a great capper. That's our episode. Thanks for listening. You know, Twitter, Facebook,
places,
merch,
Instagram,
feelings.
Here we go.
Buy tickets if you're in a city where it is not sold out. We'd love to see you. Check what those cities are on the Facebook page. And stay sexy.
And don't get murdered. Elvis? Want a cookie? You want a cookie?
Okay, bye.
Bye.